Lesson 7. Christ. Lesson Objectives. 1. The student will be able to explain what it means that Jesus is Messiah. The statement of faith in the phrase, Lord Jesus Christ. The evidence for and the importance of the humanity of Jesus. The evidence for and the importance of the deity of Jesus. The sufficiency of the death of Christ for the forgiveness of sin. The importance of the resurrection to the Christian faith. A statement of Christian beliefs about Christ. 2. The student will learn what people of some other religions say about Christ. Introduction. Activity. Before continuing the lesson, read Revelation 5:11-14. What does this passage tell us about Jesus? False Christs. The Bible predicts that in the last days, false Christs and false prophets will deceive many. Many people are putting their faith in false or imaginary Christs who cannot save them. You might meet two of these false Christs, introduced to you by the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Mormon's Jesus. If a Mormon ever knocks on your door, he will bring a Jesus who is the spirit brother of Lucifer. Mormons teach that this Jesus is one of the billions of spirit babies that our Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Mother brought into this universe. According to the Mormons, when Jesus lived on earth, he had several wives, one of whom was Mary Magdalene. After his death and resurrection, he went to America to preach to the Native Americans, the Jehovah's Witnesses Jesus. The Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you that Jesus is Michael the Archangel, the first created being, who became a man and died on a stake instead of a cross. He was raised as a spirit creature, becoming Michael the Archangel again, while his body was dissolved into gases. The real Jesus. I'm sure you recognize that these cultists have a Jesus different from the Jesus of the Bible, but can you describe the true biblical Jesus? Millions of people have a mental concept of a false Christ, one who cannot save them. It is important for you to be certain of your beliefs about Jesus so that you are not deceived and so you can introduce him to others. Jesus the Messiah. Something to think about. What are some biblical predictions about the Messiah? The four Gospels present Jesus as Israel's expected Messiah. Several things were predicted of the Messiah. He would be a descendant of King David and therefore be qualified to be king. He would save his people from oppression and bondage. He would be specially anointed by God to accomplish his mission. The word Messiah means anointed one, which was a title of kings in Israel. Some of the most important details about the Messiah in the Old Testament were not explained clearly until the New Testament was written. His priority was to deliver his people from sin. Read Matthew 1:21, Luke 1:74-75. His kingdom was not earth-based, but spiritual and heavenly. Read John 18:36. Though eventually his kingdom will cover the whole earth. Philippians 2:10-11. Revelation 19:11-16. Revelation 20:6. The word Messiah is a Hebrew word. The Greek equivalent is Christos, where we get the word Christ. To use the phrase Jesus Christ is to make the statement that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is Lord. The early church used the term Lord to say that Jesus is the supreme authority to whom one must submit. When they said Jesus is Lord, they were saying that he is the Lord of all, the creator and God of the universe. This statement of faith distinguished Christians because only Christians believed that the man Jesus who had walked on the earth was also the one God over all. The words Lord Jesus Christ are making a great statement. They are saying that Jesus is the Messiah and that he is also God. All three words are in Philippians 2:10-11. Those verses tell us that the time will come when everyone in the world will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Three special days. Our basic beliefs about Jesus could be divided into three categories, connected to three special days. We celebrate Christmas because of the Incarnation. Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus to a Virgin Mother, for Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Read Luke 1:34-35. Though Jesus was human because he was born of a woman, he was also God himself, the creator of the world he entered. This is amazing but true. While Jesus was a baby, his mother Mary held the one who had created her. The term sons of God is used of believers and of angels, John 1:12, Job 1:6. But Jesus is the Son of God in a unique way, John 3:16. He is the only being that completely shares the nature of the Father. He is so completely the image of the Father that he is God just as the Father is. Read Hebrews 1:2-3. God's nature and human nature came together in the person of Jesus. This is called the Incarnation, which means God taking on human flesh, becoming a man. Jesus is the only one who could be our Savior, because he is the only person in the universe who is both man and God. Jesus is a man. It is not hard to recognize the Jesus of the New Testament as truly human. He was conceived in a mother's womb, grew up, learned, and developed as a person. Read Luke 2:52. He got tired, slept, was tempted, and did almost everything that humans do except sin. Hebrews 4:14-15. He even died. He truly identified with the human race by becoming one of us. Read John 1:14. Something to think about. Why is it important that Jesus is a man? Because Jesus is a man. 1. He could suffer and die as a sacrifice. Ephesians 5:2, Hebrews 7:26-27. If he were God but not man, he could not physically suffer and die. 2. His righteousness can make us righteous and give us life. The first Adam represented all humanity when he sinned and became separated from God. This brought death on all people. Jesus lived a sinless life and fulfilled all of God's requirements. He gives eternal life to all who identify with him. He is called the last Adam in Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:22 and 45-49, Romans 5:17-19. 3. He can be our priest who represents us to God. As our mediator, he does not just communicate for us, he truly represents us. It was necessary for him to be a man to make reconciliation between us and God. Read Hebrews 2:17. His role as priest provides an eternal salvation. Hebrews 5:9, Hebrews 10:5-7. The humanity of Jesus is an essential part of the gospel. Read 1 John 5:1. Jesus is God. Jesus claimed to be God. The Jesus of the Bible is a man, but is not only a man. He is also the one infinite, limitless God of the universe. Jesus made this claim himself. He said, "I and the Father are one." John 10:30. When he said this, the Jews started to stone him because they understood him to be saying that he was equal to God. Did Jesus tell them, "No, you misunderstood me. I am not really God"? No, Jesus accepted their interpretation of his words. He taught that he was equal to God the Father. When Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am," John 8:58. He was claiming to be the I Am of Exodus 3:14, the self-existent God of the universe. The Jews tried to stone him for this claim also, John 8:59. Jesus performed divine acts while on earth. Jesus performed divine acts while he was on the earth. He gave eternal life. Read John 10:28. He forgave sins. Mark 2:10. These are things that only God can do. When Jesus forgave the sins of the paralytic, he healed the man to prove that he had authority on earth to forgive sins, Mark 2:5 and 10-12. One action was proof of the other, making it clear that Jesus had not performed the miracle of healing as simply a prophet anointed by God. Jesus had the divine authority and power both to forgive and to heal. Jesus also resurrected Lazarus after saying, "I am the resurrection and the life," John 11:25. This was another divine action, accompanied by a divine claim. Only God can rightfully claim to be the resurrection, because it is only the power of God that can raise anyone from the dead. Jesus claimed to be the life-giver and then gave Lazarus life, showing that he was who he claimed to be. In this event, Jesus clearly distinguished himself from other prophets and the apostles who raised people from the dead by the power of God. None of these claimed to have the power in themselves to do the miracles. They were simply instruments of God. In John 5:21, Jesus said that he raises the dead just as the Father raises the dead. When Jesus performed his miracles, he revealed his glory, John 2:11. The glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1:14. These miracles were demonstrations of God the Son's glorious power, proving he was divine. Jesus is creator and sustainer. According to the apostles John and Paul, Jesus created everything and holds everything together, and everything exists for him. Read John 1:3, Colossians 1:17. Surely this could not be said of anyone but God. Something to think about. Why is it important for us to know that Jesus is God? Because Jesus is God. 1. His sacrificial death is of infinite value, enough for forgiveness of the sins of the world. 1 John 2:2. 2. He has the power to save us. He is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. 3. We must worship him as we worship the Father. Read John 5:23. If we fail to see Jesus as God, we will not honor him as God. We can't be saved if we don't honor both the Father and the Son as God. Christianity is based not only on the teachings and actions of Jesus, but on the unique person of Jesus. He is not just the teacher of the message of salvation. He is himself the Savior, and only he, the God-man, could have been the Savior. Jesus is one person. Though Jesus has all of the nature of God and all of the nature of a human, he is not two persons combined. The two natures form one person in him in perfect harmony. Jesus is the one God-man, and every action of Jesus has to be understood in light of his full humanity and full deity. The Church has always taught that the two natures in Jesus cannot be separated from one another, yet they are not mixed in a way that causes either nature to lose its characteristics. Note, the Chalcedonian Creed, AD 451, which is included in Lesson 15, says that the two natures of Christ are unchanging, indivisible, inseparable, and unconfused. It may be helpful to compare the nature of Jesus to the nature of the Holy Scriptures. Like Jesus, the Bible is fully divine and fully human. Being a human book, it has the characteristics of any other human book, except that it is without mistake. Being divine, it shows characteristics that no other book could. In the same way, Jesus shows both human and divine qualities. The fact that the Bible shows divine characteristics does not make it any less of a human book. Likewise, the fact that Jesus operates in his deity doesn't make him any less human. And the fact that Jesus operates in his humanity doesn't make him any less divine. Common errors of doctrine. The most common errors of doctrine people make when they talk about Christ are these: denying that Jesus is God, denying that Jesus is human, minimizing either his deity or humanity as if it is unimportant, denying the unity of Christ's person. Any of these errors is a denial of the incarnation. The incarnation was necessary for our salvation, so if a person denies the incarnation, he will believe in a false gospel and a false path to salvation. What other religions say? Jehovah's Witnesses say that Jesus was a man. They believe he was the greatest man who ever lived, but still only a man. That's why they don't believe that his death is a sufficient sacrifice for our salvation. They have a gospel of salvation by works. They claim to be Christians, but they are a different religion. Mormons believe that Jesus was originally a spirit created by God, like a brother to Lucifer. He was sent to be born on earth as the man Jesus. Mormons do not believe that Jesus is God. Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet sent by God. They do not believe that he is God or that there is a Trinity. They do not believe that he was crucified or that he rose from the dead. Hindus and Buddhists believe that Jesus was a holy man who did miracles. He is not important to their religions. They do not believe in a God who is creator and Lord, so they do not believe that Jesus is the incarnation of God. We celebrate Good Friday because of the atonement. Good Friday is the day that Jesus was crucified. On this dreadful and wonderful day, Jesus took our sins to the cross. He died as a sacrifice for our sins so that we can be forgiven. A sacrifice was necessary. A sacrifice had to be made so that God could forgive us and still be just and holy. This principle was taught in the Old Testament by the sacrifices God required, Hebrews 9:22. If God simply forgave sin without a basis, it would indicate that he is not just and that sin is not very serious. But nobody could look at Jesus' death by crucifixion and say that sin is not serious. His sacrifice provided the basis for our forgiveness. Only Jesus could be a sufficient sacrifice. Something to think about. Why is Jesus the only one who could be the sacrifice for sins? The justice of God and the seriousness of sin required a greater sacrifice than any created thing. Read Hebrews 10:4. We have sinned against an infinite God, which brings upon us infinite guilt. That is why only Jesus could be the sacrifice. He was qualified because he is God and because he is man. Because of his deity, he was sinless, and his sacrifice had infinite value. Because of his humanity, he could represent us and die in our place. The blood of Jesus represents his sacrificial death. God taught people about the atonement by instituting sacrifices. The priests killed animals and offered their blood to represent their death. The book of Hebrews says that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, Hebrews 9:18 to 22. God commanded the people to treat blood in a special way because it represented the life of the creature, Leviticus 17:11 and 14. To shed blood meant to kill, Genesis 9:5 to 6. Blood being used in the temple meant that an animal had been killed. The death of Christ was the ultimate sacrifice that made salvation available for everyone in all times. Read Hebrews 10:4 and 12. He presented his blood in heaven, representing his sacrificial death. Read Hebrews 9:12 and 24. The blood of Jesus representing his death provides us salvation because he died as a sacrifice so we can be saved. Why did Jesus die on the cross instead of some other way? In Old Testament times, for a person to be hanged on a tree was a sign of the curse of God, Deuteronomy 21:23. The Apostle Paul tells us that Jesus took the curse of God upon himself by being crucified on a tree, Galatians 3:13. Jesus brought God and man together. Jesus came to reconcile two separated parties, God and man. As the mediator, Jesus had to represent both parties at the same time. As God, he represented God to man. As man, he represented man to God. By fully representing both sides, Jesus brought man and God together. He did what each side had to do to bring about reconciliation. We celebrate Easter because of the resurrection. There are many traditional ways to celebrate Easter, but many people don't realize the meaning of the things they are doing, and they may not know what is important about Jesus' resurrection. Jesus arose from the grave on Easter morning, the third day after he was crucified. He showed that he had power over sin, death, and the devil. He not only took our death, he also conquered it with life. Because he was victorious, we can be too. Jesus arose bodily. Jesus once said to the Jews, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Though the Jews thought he was referring to the temple that Herod built, John's Gospel explains that Jesus was actually referring to his body, John 2:19-21. All the Gospels record the fact that Jesus' tomb was empty 3 days after he was buried in it. Jesus showed himself to the disciples after his resurrection, saying, "Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." Luke 24:39. He was proving that he had physically risen from the dead. Something to think about. What difference would it make if Jesus had not risen from the dead? 1. Jesus' bodily resurrection demonstrated his total victory over sin and death. Read Colossians 2:12 to 15, Revelation 1:17 to 18. 2. Jesus' bodily resurrection proved that he was who he claimed to be. Matthew 17:22 to 23, John 2:16 to 22. Thus, it also proved the gospel. People who deny that Jesus rose from the dead also deny the gospel. Read 1 Corinthians 15:17. 3. Jesus' resurrection assures us that we will also be raised from the dead. Jesus promised that he would raise the dead. That promise would be unbelievable unless he himself arose. John 5:28-29. We will be raised to have bodies like Jesus' glorified body. Read 1 John 3:2. Jesus is still human. The resurrection shows us that the incarnation is permanent. Jesus will always be human as well as divine. Jesus, still the God-man, now intercedes for us with the Father, Romans 8:34, and will someday return to take us to heaven, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. We yield to Jesus because of who he is and what he did. As believers, we live in daily relationship with Christ. He is not only a person of history and not only God who is in heaven, but he is present with us. He promised to be with his disciples always, Matthew 28:20. He is present in a special way in the church. He is the head of the church, and the church is called his body, Ephesians 1:22 to 23. He guides the church, holds it together, and provides for it. Read Colossians 2:19. A person who accepts the truth about Jesus should respond with faith and obedience. You can help others to become believers with a prayer like the one below. Father, I thank you for loving me enough to send your Son Jesus into the world for my sake. I believe that Jesus is the sinless God-man who died and rose again so I could be forgiven for my sins and be restored to a relationship with you. I am very sorry for all the sins I have committed. I know my sins nailed Jesus to the cross. Right now, I turn away from everything I know is wrong, and I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Lead me from now on. I am going to live for you forever. Thank you for forgiving me. I love you. Amen. Statement of Beliefs. Jesus is the Messiah and Lord of all, the Son of God born of a virgin, with all of human nature and all of divine nature in one person. He lived a sinless life and died as a sacrifice so that our sins can be forgiven. He rose from the dead and will raise all believers when he returns. His kingdom is universal and without end. Scriptural proof of Jesus' humanity. Jesus was a descendant of Eve, Genesis 3:15. The seed of Abraham, Genesis 22:18, compared to Acts 3:25, born from a woman, Galatians 4:4, born from Mary, Matthew 1:21 to 25, called the Son of Man, Matthew 13:37, and went through an ordinary maturation process, Luke 2:40 and 52. When he came back to his hometown to visit, the reaction of the people shows that his childhood was normal, Matthew 13:54 to 56. He had a body in order to obey as a human should, Hebrews 10:5 to 9. He became flesh and blood, Hebrews 2:14. He was made just like us, so that he could suffer like us, Hebrews 2:10-18. He was perfected through suffering, Hebrews 2:9-10, and he was subject to human temptations, Hebrews 4:15. He took the form of man, Philippians 2:6-8. He was the eternal Word of God, and was made flesh and lived on earth, John 1:14. The humanity of Jesus is an essential statement of the Christian faith, John 1:14, 1 John 4:2-3. Scriptural proof of Jesus' deity. There are three ways Jesus is proved to be God. 1. He is called God. 2. He is shown to have attributes of God. 3. He is shown in the roles of God. Jesus is called God. John 1:1 and 14 says that the eternal Word was God. John 12:41 tells us that Isaiah saw Jesus. Acts 20:28 says that the church of God was purchased with his own blood. Romans 9:5 said that Christ came, who is God blessed forever. Titus 2:13 refers to him as our God and Saviour Jesus Christ. Matthew 1:23, quoting Isaiah 7:14, says that his name means God with us. Isaiah 9:6 says that his name will be called Mighty God. 1 Timothy 3:16 says that God was revealed in the flesh, proclaimed among the nations, and received into glory. In John 10:30 and 33, Jesus said he was the same as the Father. In John 5:17-18, the Jews knew that he said he was equal with God. In John 14:9, he said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." In John 20:28-29, Thomas saw his wounds and said, "My Lord and my God," and Jesus blessed those who believe. In John 8:58, he called himself "I am," and the Jews knew it was a claim to be God. In Revelation 1:17, Revelation 2:8, and Revelation 22:13, he claimed to be the first and the last, and Isaiah 44:6 shows this is a term for God. Hebrews 1:2-3 tells us that he is the complete image of the Father. In Hebrews 1:8, he is addressed as God. Jesus has the attributes of God. Present everywhere. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus said that he was present wherever two or three believers were together. In Matthew 28:20, he promised to be with the believers always, all-powerful. Hebrews 1:3 says that he holds everything up by his power. Philippians 3:21 says that he subjects everything to himself. Eternal. Hebrews 13:8 tells us that he is eternally the same. Hebrews 1:12 also says that he is the same forever. This verse is a quotation of Psalm 102, 25-27, speaking of God, all-knowing. John 2:24-25 tells us that he knew all people and knew what was in their hearts. In John 10:15, he claimed to know the Father the same way the Father knew him. Jesus has the roles of God. Jesus is the Creator. Colossians 1:16. Hebrews 1:10. Jesus forgave sin, Luke 5:20-24, Luke 7:48. Jesus will be judge at the final judgment, Matthew 25:31-46, 2 Corinthians 5:10. Jesus is worshipped like the Father is, John 5:22-23, Hebrews 1-6, Revelation 5:12-13.